With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Successful media and public affairs consultant, accomplished entrepreneur and national writer and contributor, attorney who served in the Missouri House of Representatives, worked in the White House and CNN, thought leader, entrepreneur, and host who takes the conversation to the next level.
Prepare to get rare access to fascinating guests.
You're connected. You have the it factor. You've joined
Grill Nation.
Everybody over there!
Get over there!
Everybody!
Connect with Jason on Twitter at Jason Grill. Connect with the show on Twitter at Grill Nation Show and online at grillnationshow.com.
Welcome your host of Grill Nation, always dressed up and ready to go even in a radio studio. Here's Jason Grill.
Hello and welcome to the Grill Nation Show here on KMBZ 980 AM. And I appreciate also listening today. If you are joining me via podcast at iTunes or Stitcher Radio, also available at grillnationshow.com. Hope you had a great end to your 2017 and are excited about a big 2018. I'm very thankful for the show that we have been doing here for over 4 years now. I think this is our fifth year. Over 135 shows, I believe, on Grill Nation alone. Very excited to continue that in 2018 and to continue to have really cool guests who are really doing amazing things here in Kansas City and throughout the region and the country. I've got a lot of guests already planned out for 2018. So I appreciate you joining me and I appreciate you listening each and every week, whether it's via podcast or on KMBZ 980 AM. As always, you can connect with me on Twitter at Jason Grill and at Grill Nation Show. I'm also available as well on other social media handles. Just check out and search for Jason Grill. I want to thank our partners and supporters of the Grill Nation Show who are along for the ride again in 2018. Our title sponsor of the show is Truss, MoBank, BOK Financial, and Two West Advisors. All three of those guys and companies are great people and great organizations here in Kansas City. Also want to thank our guest co-hosts and on-air contributors to the Grill Nation Show, The Rieger and Jay Rieger & Co. with Ryan Mabey, One Light Luxury Apartments, great group over there, and Reactor Design Studios. Clifton Alexander is a guest co-host and on-air contributor each and every month. Just a really great guy as well. So today I want to change things up a bit, and our first guest who will be joining me here in just a second is doing something really cool here recently. Stephanie Carey is the CEO of Carey Media and the publisher of The Pitch, which we all have heard of before here in Kansas City. She brings more than 17 years of experience in local media, marketing, digital revenue, and promotions. She began her career as a radio and newspaper reporter and most recently served as a sales manager at Second Street, where she consulted media companies on diversifying and increasing digital revenue streams. She's active in the community and has served on the American Royal as the chair of cooking demonstrations and is a member of the marketing committee. She's a graduate of Blue Valley Northwest High School here in the area and earned her bachelor's degree in communications from Milligan College. Stephanie is joining me today on the phone. We're here to announce some big news about Carey Media acquiring The Pitch here in Kansas City. Welcome to the show, Stephanie. How are you today?
Hi, Jason. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you on the show. So tell us about yourself. I read your bio, but I know that's just the kind of the tip of the iceberg with what you do. Looks like you grew up here in the area.
I did grow up in the area. And I attended high school and church here in Kansas City and then moved on to East Tennessee for college and then later on Eastern North Carolina for journalism jobs, but eventually came back, and I'm so glad I did.
So Milligan College, yeah, I didn't know where that was. That's in Tennessee, huh?
Correct. It's in East Tennessee. I really had no idea how exactly far away it was when I decided to go there. I just thought it would be fun to be 16 hours away from home in concept.
And I've been to Tennessee a handful of times as well, and for a few work events, some fun events, and some weddings and whatnot down there. And I always enjoy because kind of the there's a lot of different landscapes there, you know.
It was.
And you have mountains, you have hills, you have different cities, you have big cities, you have small cities, similar in population size to Missouri, which is cool. But yeah, that's really cool. So you decided to kind of follow the journalism career and tell us about that. I mean, that obviously takes you from job to job, I'd imagine.
Sure. Well, it's actually kind of a funny story how I got into that study. I was working in the Milligan College Grill, and the professor of journalism in the communications department, Terry Mattingly, those of you may know him from his Scripps National Column on religion with Terry Mattingly.
Mm-hmm.
He was my professor, and he came in probably several times a week and ordered a grilled cheese sandwich. And sometimes he ordered it with pickles. But and this time I decided that I needed to endear this professor to me because I needed him to like me. And so I announced to him that I enjoyed writing and that I thought of myself as a fairly good writer. And he looked at me point blank and he said, "You don't know how to write." And then he paused and said, "But if you take my Journalism 101 class, I will teach you."
Really?
And he might have been correct.
That's very cool. And so you learned from that, and that kind of was the tip of the iceberg for you. You said you lived in North Carolina as well?
I did. My first job outside of college was at the Rocky Mount Telegram. I want to give a shout out to the daily paper there in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. They gave this kid a chance as the lifestyle reporter, and it was a great learning experience. I have lifelong friends from that newspaper and still follow it today.
Very cool. And so after that, you did a little bit here and there. I'm looking at your LinkedIn page as we speak.
Yeah.
You have a lot of stuff going on, which is really cool. You've been all around the place. You also worked at some law firms throughout the years and some PR type organizations, it looks like.
Yeah. So here in Kansas City, I worked for a publication that's still here. It's called The Daily Record, and it's also affiliated with Missouri Lawyers Weekly.
Oh, yes,
and
it is.
And I worked with it, and I was a reporter there. And in doing so, I got to know the Kansas City law community and later ended up working in public relations and marketing for a couple of years to get my feet wet on the business side of things.
Tell me about this American Royal cooking demo. And then you were the chair of this. That's interesting to me.
I'm actually not sure if they do that anymore. It was something that I started about, 7 or 8 years ago. And what it was is on the American Royal Family Days, which is Saturday of the American Royal Barbecue, we wanted to have more activities for people to do other than just walk around and smell other people's cooking. So we thought it would be fun to bring in some chefs of different degrees and let them teach people how to cook and show people through demonstrations. So it's something I hope they're still doing, but I have no idea if they are.
That is so cool. And obviously the American Royal has grown. And so you were kind of there early on doing some of this cool stuff. And you mentioned that I'm looking at your bio here. A lot of the proceeds went to different scholarships, educations.
Definitely helps our youth in agrarian studies, and that's something that a lot of people don't know about the American Royal, is that it's really funding the future of agriculture. And, you know, if you think about agriculture, it's such a huge part of all of our lives, and whether it be, veterinarians or all the way down to farmers and that kind of thing, we really need to support these careers going forward.
Stephanie Carey is our guest today. She is the publisher of The Pitch and now and CEO and owner of Carey Media. We got a minute left in the segment. Tell us about your experience. You went from all of these different experiences to a sales manager at Second Street. That seems to be quite a transition there for you.
You know, it wasn't, because what I was doing at Second Street, while it is a software company, that was more than a software company in that we did sales training for sales teams of media companies. So I had my opportunity to go into local media companies like The Pitch, and alternative publications like The Pitch, and teach their teams new digital revenue streams.
Mm. That's something everyone's looking to do these days, isn't it? I mean, it's
for
just
sure.
So competitive on e-commerce, I'll tell you that.
I know. Well, if you guys don't work with Second Street, you should.
Definitely going to have to check them out. Stephanie Carey is our guest. We're going to be back with her after the break. I appreciate you joining us today here on Grill Nation. Very exciting news that the Carey Media Group has acquired The Pitch. They just announced that the deal closed on December 31st, 2017. I want to get into kind of what The Pitch was, what you're doing there, and what we can look forward to in the future here after the break. You're listening to Grill Nation.
Sound of my heart, the beat goes on and on and on.
Welcome back to Grill Nation with your host, Jason Grill. I appreciate you joining me again today here on 980 AM KMVZ and as well at grillnationshow.com. Appreciate you also listening if you're at the gym or in your car or wherever you are on iTunes or Stitcher Radio today. Exciting interview that we've been having, really interesting background on Stephanie Carey, who is now the publisher of The Pitch, and she's the owner of Carey Media, obviously, who purchased The Pitch, and also the CEO of Carey Media, and has a really wide background of experience in journalism and advertising and sales. And so, Stephanie, welcome back to the show. Tell us about the transgressions of how this all took place, the progression of it, because The Pitch, obviously, if people don't know, has been in Kansas City since 1980. That's a long time.
Yeah, it really is. It's a couple of years younger than me, but long enough. And so, I'm not disclosing my age here, but, you can probably do the math.
Yes.
I've been a, big fan of alternative media, including The Pitch, my whole career. And in fact, when I was at the Daily Record, I mentioned I was actually in Press Club, which was a club for journalists here in Kansas City. And I was there with all the Pitch reporters who I thought were so cool. And I was like, oh man, it'd be so cool to be one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So fast forward to 2018, I am now the owner, which is really exciting. And I want to give a shout out to my husband, Adam Carey, who is also my business partner, who has been with me every single step of the way here.
That is very cool. So you have a husband and wife business here.
That's something we don't,
a lot of people do that. They work together when they're married and some people don't. So I'm interested to see, has that been something you guys have been wanting to do for a while with Carey Media, or have you guys always kind of been kind of working together on different things?
Well, you know, this has been, a career dream for me, and Adam has always been 100% supportive, and he's delved into a lot of business and marketing and technology in his own career, and it was just a perfect fit when the opportunity took place for us both to team up on it and support each other in this endeavor. So mm-hmm. I'll be running the day-to-day operations, but Adam has a strong voice in Carey Media and is really, really excited. He's already met the staff and even brought our dog into the office.
There you go. That's what you need to be a best place to work. You know, you have to have the dog in the office. I love it. Stephanie Carey is joining me today with Carey Media. Okay, so this was a lifelong dream of yours. Obviously, I believe you're going to probably use your background in journalism and media software sales. That's going to help you in this new age of whatnot online. Are you planning on kind of keeping things kosher with the online site and the hard copy? I know it's The Pitch has always been a very independent and investigative reporting type organization, but you also do things with like food and new Kansas City openings and all that. Tell us about kind of what we can expect to see both online and the paper version of the Pitch.
Yeah, so I am really excited about The Pitch, of course, and we are going to keep our lovely monthly publication that we started going monthly about March of last year. Mm-hmm. We're not going to make any changes to that. Everyone can expect the great quality and content that they're used to in that. And if you haven't picked up a copy since we've gone monthly, I encourage you to do so because it really does elevate our content the way that it's printed on the pretty glossy paper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so you've stepped it up in that area, I've noticed. And I think that's a good move, right? I mean, a lot of people probably consume your content online.
Yes, and we want to continue to allow people to do that. One of the changes we will be making is reigniting, I guess, the calendar, which has been a little bit lost in
translation
time
there.
and effort here. So we're going to bring the calendar back is what I'm saying.
Yeah, and that will highlight, I mean, you guys highlight a lot of local events, right? And really give people a lot of things to do with that calendar, right?
Correct. We're going to allow people to submit, their events and want the community to really get involved in that process and that sharing. And, you know, we want to help support Kansas City arts and entertainment and cultural community, and we know that getting those events out is really important.
Mm-hmm. You also are going to provide local businesses with a channel for visibility. Is that through the calendar function?
You know, we have a lot of opportunities for local businesses. You know, obviously our print product is a really quality place for a local business to be and missing out if you're not in it. But also I know a lot of local businesses are looking for digital help and support and services, and we're going to bring some great new offerings to them and help them generate measurable results from their efforts with us. I'm really excited to share with local advertisers and local businesses and national businesses those opportunities.
Mm-hmm. That's so huge in this day and age, is trying to find new ways to give back to the business community and to also offer really good reporting and independent tradition of the pitch. You guys are located downtown, I believe.
We are.
Tell us about that and your offices and where they're located, because if I remember correctly, it's kind of on the streetcar line.
We are on the streetcar line. I absolutely love hearing that ding ding every couple of times an hour. I'm not actually sure how often it is, but it's nice to hear. It makes me excited about Kansas City's growth. But we are at 16th and Main, right in the Crossroads District. And unfortunately, we don't have signage outside of our building because we're in a building with other businesses. But we are really right in the heart of Kansas City, and both our reporters and our sales teams are out and about and just want to be part of this city.
Mm-hmm. Stephanie Carey is our guest, the publisher of The Pitch. She's also CEO and owner of Carey Media. They just purchased The Pitch. It's going to be a locally owned paper now again. And you guys, tell me about your writers and your editor, and tell me how that has all transpired, because I know that there's been some changes with the staff.
Yeah. So we're naming David Hudnall our editor here at The Pitch. He's been with us as a staff writer for many years and even jumped over to the alternative publication in Raleigh, North Carolina, where I know the publisher there and did really great work there and then came back. We're so glad he came back to Kansas City and is now going to be our editor. So he's going to bring a great experience, and I promise I don't have a bias for people who worked in North Carolina in reporting. I'm just kind of proud of him. So he's going to bring all of that. And then he has his great team of contributors who, you know, a lot of them honestly used to work here full time, and you know, they are love this publication, love serving this publication, and they love being an independent voice. So we'll continue to work with his great team and of course continue to grow that team as, you know, more writers become interested in working with us.
Mm-hmm. Stephanie Carey is our guest. Looking at your press release here, you're going to continue to build upon some of the things that made you famous: Bartender's Notebook, Music Forecast, including your Best of Kansas City. That's always a huge highlight for people, is to be involved in that Best of Kansas City event, isn't it?
Yes, Best of Kansas City is one of our flagship events, and we're really excited about continuing it and even growing it to some extent. And of course, I welcome any feedback from the community. We'll get going on that in the late summer and have our party in October. But our next party coming up is Brunched at the Madrid, and that is a, if you are interested in all things brunch, then that'll be something that you will just love attending.
Mm-hmm. And again, like, we're talking about The Pitch here, everyone, which has been around since 1980. Started off as it started off called The Penny Pitch, which is a monthly handout at a record store. You know, I heard some records over the holidays, and it brought me back, man. I get, you know, people that play records, it's kind of fun. But anyways, that's how The Pitch started. And, you know, you guys have really touched on about everything here in Kansas City, and it's really exciting. Kind of, I want to know more about kind of the background about how this kind of took place. You mentioned it's kind of a lifelong aspiration of you to do this. How does this process work? I mean, obviously it was owned by a big company. You guys are a smaller local company. Mm-hmm. How does that all happen for our listeners who are entrepreneurs? Because we have a lot of entrepreneurs that listen to the show who might be thinking about doing something bold, and it seems to me that you've done something bold here. How does that all happen?
Yeah, so what I would say is that I was a member through my former employer of the Association of Alternative News Weeklies, which is where The Pitch and other publications of its caliber are all members, and they share ideas, and it's great networking. I've been asked to speak there several times and spoken at their conferences, and over the years it's just really through who you get to know. I've gotten to know most of the publishers and owners of the different publications across the country. I've kept those relationships going strong, and when Southcom, the parent company that sold it to us, was looking for a buyer, I was the first person that came to mind for them. And so it's really, I would say, for entrepreneurs, you know, it goes down to that networking and who you know and keeping those relationships going strong.
I completely agree. It's all about working hard and relationship building, and you never know when there might be a mutually beneficial strategic relationship, and that's what it looks like you found here with purchasing The Pitch, Carey Media, and I'm talking to Stephanie Carey, who's the publisher. Again, The Pitch emphasizes investigative reporting and long-form journalism. The Pitch covers every aspect of Kansas City life, from government and politics, performing and visual arts, music, fashion, books, movies, food and drink, and it's in print every month and online every day at Pitch, P-I-T-C-H, .com. Stephanie, we have about a minute left in this segment. So you're all nestled in there now. Start of the year, you're rocking and rolling. What are some of the things you're really excited about here in the first quarter of 2018, and what are some of the things potentially that people can look forward to?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, I'm excited about our very first event of the year, which will be brunched on February 10th at the Madrid. And so that's just coming up. We're really getting geared up. But other things that we have coming up, of course, we'll do all of the events that you guys know and love from The Pitch. And then we'll have lots of great content about Kansas City, local music, food, events, culture. And we may be delving into new areas of coverage as we grow.
That'd be great to see, and hopefully you guys keep up your investigative reporting too. That seems to be happening a lot more throughout the region with all different types of people.
So David is leading the charge with that, and we're really excited for the direction he's going to take.
Congratulations to you. We've been talking to Stephanie Carey from the Carey Media, and CEO and owner of that organization, and now the new publisher of The Pitch. Congratulations on your success. And guys and gals, go check out The Pitch at pitch.com. Stephanie, thanks for coming on the show today.
Thanks, Jason.
It's been great. We'll be right back on Grill Nation. Thanks for joining me.
I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops.
Hello and welcome back to Grill Nation with Jason Grill here on 980 AM KMBZ, as well as on podcast today on iTunes or Stitcher Radio, as well as if you're joining me today on the website, I appreciate it, at grillnationshow.com. Keep all of your guest suggestions coming in and keep connecting with me on social media at Jason Grill on Twitter and at Grill Nation Show, also available on all other forms of social media. Search the name Jason Grill. Hope you enjoyed our first few segments of the show today. Really exciting things happening over at The Pitch. I want to bring on our next guest, Dave Borchard, who is the Director of Events at the Kansas City Sports Commission and Foundation. The website is sportkc.org. The Kansas City Sports Commission and Foundation has been around Kansas City for quite a while. They do a lot of cool things to enhance the quality of life and economic success of Kansas City through sport. And very excited to have Dave Borchard on the show today. Dave, welcome to the show via phone.
Thanks, man. Good to talk to you, my friend.
So Dave and I go way back. Let's talk some background here. Dave used to work at Sporting KC when it was the Kansas City Wizards back in the old days, and he and I hosted a very successful radio show, the Fantasy Football Show. Is that the name of it, Dave?
Oh, yeah. We had great guests. We had Corby Jones, Mizzou legend, among others. And, yeah, I will say, though, I always used to kind of kick your butt at Fantasy Football,
Did. We had a great show. Dave has a history of media, so it's kind of cool to be interviewing him today. So, Dave, talk to us about your background. I know you've been in Kansas City for many years and have worked in a lot of really cool organizations. Tell us about yourself.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like as a lifelong Kansas Cityan and a diehard sports fan, I feel like I've been really lucky to have the career I've had so far. And started at Sports Radio 810 back when it was Sports Radio 1510 as an intern in 1999, and went there full time after I graduated from Mizzou in May of 2000. Kind of started off running the board and producing the different shows. Started producing Jason Whitlock's Neighborhood right out of college, which meant getting up at 3:45 every day, which was interesting. Then went to the Crunch Time Show with Bill Moss and Frank Bohl and Tim Grunhard, and then moved on to Kevin Kietzman's show. Started to get some experience hosting as well, so I was able to host the evening show as well as the Sunday morning show.
Did you do that? I didn't know that. So you did the evening and the Sunday morning show.
Yeah, I did that, and then also hosted the Chiefs post game with Jack Harry and Danny Klingscale, so that was pretty fun. As you know, Jack Harry, one of the more opinionated commentators in Kansas City sports history, so
Yeah. Great guy. He actually, when I was a legislator, he was lived in my district. So always like seeing him at the polling places, and he's always been a good dude. So we kind of met after that when you were at Sporting as the public relations manager. But you got a lot of great experience, and you kind of been connected to kind of the radio scene here in Kansas City, even after you host reported and were a producer.
Yeah, and like you said, I went from 810 to, at that time, the Wizards, and was there through the whole rebranding and the new stadium construction and the stadium opening. So that was really one of the highlights of my career for sure, getting to see what it was like when the team was the Wizards. And, you know, there might be 2,000 or 3,000 people at the game, and now they've sold out 100-plus games in a row, and they have the best stadium in the league. And it's just really cool to see where the team has gone. But like you said, I definitely keep my foot in the door with Sporting and with 810. I still host the post-game radio show for Sporting KC on Sports Radio 810 after every game. Yeah, so if you ever want to listen to the final whistle, you can give me your take on the Sporting KC game.
I remember fondly when you used to be the play-by-play announcer on the TV broadcast.
Yeah, that was a fun year. That was a really
fun
year.
Was it only 1 year? I thought it was 2 or 3.
No, it was 1 year, and then they decided to upgrade with the new stadium opening, and they brought in Cal Williams, who did a great job, and I think we really was a good fit for the team with the new stadium and the new brand, and, you know, came in with the English accent. Anytime you can add the English accent to soccer, I think you got a winner.
So you're out there, you're doing the show. Do you do the show? You used to do the show from Sporting Park.
Yeah, so for the home games, we will do the post-game show from inside the Members Club, okay. Which if no one's been to the game, it's obviously the cauldron is the crazy fan section that sing and bang the drums all game. And when the team wins, they bring in the songs and the drums into the Members Club. So it's actually really hard to hear during the show, but it makes for a really good atmosphere.
Yeah, it does. Dave Borchard's our guest. He's with the KC Sports Commission now. He also is does stuff with Sporting KC on the broadcast. Dave, okay, so let's talk about that. So you've been around MLS now for quite a while. What's your take on it as far as an American sports league?
You know, it's funny. I would say other than the TV ratings, which I think they're still not where the league wants them to be, I think other than TV ratings, the league is just really hitting on all cylinders. I think you look at these new teams that come in, and they have great stadiums. They sell out every single game. And I think almost everything the league is doing is working really well. They're willing to be one of the leaders in terms of world soccer when it comes to technological innovations. I think we know that FIFA can be a little bit too much old school, in my opinion, and you know, not necessarily willing to take chances or tweak things. But you look at MLS, and they rolled out a replay last year, which, you know, it's I think one thing that maybe frustrates American sports fans, but that soccer fans love, is it's tough to score sometimes in soccer games. So if there's a play that directly leads to a goal, I mean, that's a crucial play that could directly impact who wins, who loses, and who makes the playoffs. So now that MLS has replay, they can find out if a play should have been a penalty kick, or if it was a dive, or if it should have been a handball, or if it's a red card, like these huge plays that really impact the game. More than any other sport, I think one or two plays in soccer can determine the outcome of the game. So the fact that MLS is willing to take chances and do the replay, I think, is really cool. And like I said, every team's coming in with great attendance. I don't know if you saw the Atlanta Stadium this year, but they were selling out that beautiful new dome they have in Atlanta.
Really?
Yeah, it was, and I mean, it's an amazing dome they have down there, but they were selling it out. They set a new MLS attendance record for a game. I think it was 60-some thousand. So every team that comes in just has all the momentum, and I think it's the number one league. MLS and the NBA, from everything I've read, seem like they're the top two teams in American sports in terms of millennial fans. So I think when you look at who's going to be that next generation of fans, certainly in Kansas City, the younger people still like baseball, still like the Chiefs. But, man, people are really flocking to the NBA and MLS.
And you got expansion, too, right? More teams are coming in?
Yep, for sure. So there's a team just got awarded to Nashville recently.
Oh, it did? Okay.
Yeah. And then the other big news in MLS is the Columbus team looks like it's likely to move to Austin, which would be the first, you know, big-time professional sports team in Austin, which is a really fun market. So kind of sad that it's one of the MLS originals in Columbus, but they've been struggling for a while in terms of attendance and sponsorship money and merchandise sales. And I think even though it's sad news for their hardcore fans, I think MLS in Austin could be a really good thing as well.
It could be. It's a fun city, that's for sure. And there's a lot of millennials down there. That's and it's a growing city. So what's really cool. I feel bad for the people of Columbus if that happens. You know, it's a pretty big city as well, which people don't think about. I mean, it's got a similar kind of a demographic as Austin. I mean, state capital, college, big college town, a couple million people. Very cool. We're talking to Dave Borchardt, who now is the with the KC Sports Commission, the Kansas City Sports Commission. He's the director of events. Dave, before we get to what the Sports Commission does, you also had a stint over at Time Warner Cable. You kind of worked in the corporate route for over 6 years. Time flies, man.
Yeah, it was funny. I was, like I said, I was with 810, and then I was with Sporting, and it got to the point where even though I love my job at Sporting KC, it was, you know, 6 days a week for 9 months out of the year. And with two little kids, it was just, it was kind of tempting to me to go for the 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. And definitely had a lot of fun at Time Warner Cable, kind of doing PR, crisis management stuff. But then also we did a lot of community events, trying to build up goodwill in the Kansas City community. So, I love my time there for sure. It was definitely, more of a Monday through Friday job, which was nice for the family life. But, you know, they went through a merger recently, which I know you're aware of, with Charter Communications. And they were asking me to relocate to Milwaukee, and as a lifelong Kansas City, and that was kind of a no-go with me. So I started looking for other jobs here around town. I know I even reached out to you for a possible lead, and but I found this job with the Sports Commission that combined my two, well, I guess my three loves, really, which would be sports and events and then the city of Kansas City. So I'm just really lucky that it all worked out, and I met with my boss this morning and told her this is my favorite job I've ever had, and I really mean it. It's, you know, the chance to work in your hometown and try to improve your city through sports, which is something I'm passionate about, and getting to go out and plan and execute these fun community events. It's just a dream job.
Dave Borchardt is with us. Dave, give us an overview of the Kansas City Sports Commission. We've actually had on Kathy Nelson here, a few years ago, so it's been a while since we've really talked about it. I know it's growing, and we got a couple minutes left in this first this segment with you. Tell us a bit about it. Its website is sportkc.org if you want to check it out.
Yeah, so I'd say for people that don't know anything about us, certainly check out the website, like Jason said. But we're a nonprofit organization, and our mission is making Kansas City better through sports. So if there's something big in Kansas City that's sports-related, there's a pretty good chance the Sports Commission will have some sort of role in it. You know, I think one of the things we're really well-known for is we bid to bring events to Kansas City to help with economic impact and to help with visibility for Kansas City on a regional, national, and international level. So things like the Big 12 basketball tournament, we bid to bring to Kansas City. The NCAA volleyball Final Four that was just here last month, something we brought to town. Also, the U.S. Figure Skating Championships that was here last January that was a big successful event at Sprint Center. That's something we bring to town. So things like that, working on a World Cup bid right now, which would be obviously the biggest event we could ever bring to town. I think that's probably the thing the public would know the Sports Commission best for, doing things like that. But we also have a group internally called Win for KC, and they're all about getting females and young ladies into sports at a young age to better their life, show the benefits of sports in terms of self-confidence, teamwork, health and wellness, things like that. So they do an all-girls summer camp each year. They have a big women's sports awards celebration luncheon each year. And then my team focuses primarily on local events, so trying to do a lot of things to better the community. We have an annual sports awards banquet that's going to be in its 44th year coming up in June, celebrating the best sports stories of the year each year in Kansas City. And then we have several endurance events my team manages, including the Kansas City Marathon, which is the largest annual running event in Kansas City. Yes. Really just a celebration of our city is the way I look at the Kansas City Marathon.
Dave Borchardt is our guest, the Director of Events at the Kansas City Sport Commission. The website is sportkc.org. More with Dave after the break. You're listening to Grill Nation. Welcome back to Grill Nation with Jason Grill. I'm lovely to be back with you for this year as your host of the show here on 980 AM KMBZ. The website is grillnationshow.com, and we're up on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Just search for the Grill Nation Show with Jason Grill. Talking to our guest, Dave Borchardt, who's the director of events for the Kansas City Sports Commission. A longtime friend. We're kind of reconnecting, Dave, aren't we? We've hung out and talked a few times in the last few months. Very, very cool the things you're doing over at the Kansas City Sports Commission. Again, give our listeners just a elevator pitch on what you guys do as we come back from break here, and then we'll discuss more.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, the Sports Commission, we're a nonprofit organization. Our mission is making Kansas City better through sports. So trying to improve the quality of life in Kansas City through health and wellness events, and also trying to help with economic impact and positive visibility through the city for, you know, fun events like the Big 12 tournament, NCAA volleyball championships coming up this year. We have the women's Division I NCAA basketball regionals, which will be big for Kansas City to show up and support. And if we can do that, maybe we could get something like the women's Final Four someday.
That'd be really cool. There's a lot of ways to get involved with the Sports Commission. Just go to sportkc.org, and they have internship programs as well as volunteer opportunities as well up on the website. Dave, you mentioned going after things. That's very competitive these days. You know, you mentioned the World Cup. If the U.S. doesn't have it yet, but it's looking to get it, right? Or did it get awarded that?
So it has not been awarded yet, and it is a joint bid between the U.S., Mexico, and Canada. So it would be three countries hosting, with the U.S. hosting, you know, 80% or so of the games. I think it would be something like 20 sites in the U.S., 6 in Mexico, 6 in Canada, or something like that.
That'd be pretty cool.
Oh, man, it would be cool. And, you know, I don't know about you, that's kind of the biggest sporting event I've never been to. I was actually in a student exchange in Germany when the U.S. hosted the World Cup back in the mid-90s, so I missed it. But, I mean, it's just, imagine the Super Bowl times 10 is the only way I could describe it. It would be, you know, more than $1 billion of economic impact for each city that got to host the games. And Kansas City, being so set up with the great facilities Sporting KC has and the new U.S. Training and Development Center that's opened in Kansas City, Kansas, I mean, we could host games at Arrowhead. We could potentially also host teams in terms of training camp out at Sporting Park or the U.S. Training Center or wherever that might be. So it would be so exciting.
We'll have a new airport by then, hopefully.
Right, yeah, that should be all done by then.
We'll hopefully have an extended streetcar by then, and maybe some other forms of transportation with autonomous cars and flying Ubers. I mean, it'll be amazing.
Oh, my gosh. And can you imagine just the influx of international travelers into Kansas City for that event? You'd have people from every corner of the globe coming in. And like you said, Kansas City is great now, and how much greater will it be in 8 years when we hopefully host that 2026 World Cup? And like you said, brand new airport, more big, great hotels. The streetcar will be longer and better at that point. So Kansas City just keeps getting better and better every year, and it would be great if we could showcase it to the world and host the World Cup.
Yeah, it would. One of the things you're involved with, Dave, to showcase Kansas City is the Kansas City Marathon. I know you have become an avid runner in your spare time with between family life and work life. Tell us about that, because that's a very competitive industry. A lot of cities are really marketing themselves with their marathons, and I've run a couple marathons. It's a really cool tourism destination trip, and you get to see new cities. And usually it's tough because people want to go to like either the really big cities or kind of more of the scenic routes. How have you guys been able to stay competitive with that in Kansas City?
Well, let's be fair. I'm not the only one of us that's involved with the Kansas City Marathon. I know you finished the half marathon last year. I saw you, you know, sprinting down the hill, you know, looking great,
cramping.
You said, well, I didn't want to say that. I guess we look at this as it's the biggest race in Kansas City in terms of participation numbers. And so when I came on board about a year and a half ago, one of my primary goals, and I guess I should mention that too, one of my other jobs is being race director for the marathon. And so one of the things I told my boss is, we need to take this race that's already the biggest race in town, and we need to really grow this into being one of the biggest destination races in the Midwest. We know we have this great city in Kansas City, and we need to use this race to really celebrate all things Kansas City. So, you know, for example, last year we took our pre-race health and fitness expo, which is free and open to the public, and we moved that to Union Station. That's just this iconic Kansas City venue. Our shirts were designed that had the shuttlecock from the Nelson Atkins in it, and you know, pointing to Kansas City on the state of Missouri. So the shirts were Kansas City centric. I know you got a big half marathon medal that had KC spelled out in the design, so that was Kansas City centric. And the course really tries to hit all the cool landmarks and spots in Kansas City, Missouri. So we're running past Sprint Center and City Hall and 18th and Vine and the Nelson Atkins and the Plaza and Westport, and then a really fast downhill finish with this great view of the Kansas City skyline, running past with the World War I Memorial on your left. So just really trying to stress all things Kansas City with this race, and I think it kind of serves two purposes. One, hopefully it really inspires all the local runners to feel like, hey, this is my hometown race. This is one I can't miss. And then, like you said, for these people that are looking for a racecation idea, you know, this is a great chance to see a great city. You kind of get this running tour of Kansas City, Missouri, and then you can come in and cross Kansas City off your bucket list. And, you know, most people, I think, find that Kansas City is a lot more than they expected. I know we hear the stereotype from people that fly in from the coast sometimes, you know, where's the cows, where's the wheat, and all that stuff. And Kansas City's got a great city. I think everybody here that lives here knows it, and it's a great chance for us to get people in from out of town to run the race and then, you know, learn more about what a great city we have.
And do you guys get a lot of feedback from people that do come in town that's positive?
Yeah, I think people love the race. It's funny, though. I think knowing here, you realize that it's a hilly city. I think people in some ways think they're going to come in and Kansas City is going to be totally flat, but it's a really hilly course. So it's not an easy course, but we make it a really scenic and a really pretty course. Mm-hmm. But people in general like the race. The weather's normally pretty good, and I think they could definitely get the sense for all the Kansas City pride that we have throughout the race. And one thing that I'm still pushing that I'd love to get more people in the general public involved this year is, like you mentioned, you can definitely come out and volunteer, but I'd love to get more spectators out along our course. I know Kansas City is a great sports town. It's a great tailgating city. You know, you can either be inconvenienced by the Kansas City Marathon because it does close down some streets, or you can make a big party of it. So I'd encourage people, you know, living in Brookside, living on the plaza in Westport, you know, come out and have a tailgate party with your neighbors, make mimosas, make Bloody Marys, and really have fun with it. That's something I saw at Twin Cities last year. Is they have like 300,000 spectators, and everyone comes out and they compete against each other to have the biggest neighborhood yard party, and they have bounce houses, and it's like a carnival atmosphere. It's crazy. So that's one of my long-term goals for Kansas City. We have such a great city. I'd love for the city to really come out and have tons of spectators for the marathon.
It'd be really cool. I've done a couple of, did St. George, which is a scenic one in the mountains in Utah, and I've done LA, and LA's is a lot of spectators as well, obviously, in a really scenic course. And Kansas City, I've done the half, and I continue to look for more opportunities to go to new cities and to see new things. So congrats on all you do with the Kansas City Marathon, Dave. We have a minute left on the show today. We'll have you on again at some point, maybe down the road, to talk about some news, maybe if you have some exciting events coming up. But we got a minute left. About Mizzou, what do you think about Mizzou basketball and football right now? I know you've been a diehard fan, and I'm hoping that you're talking a little Mizzou sports over at that sports
station. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm always pushing Mizzou here as much as I can, and Kansas City still got a lot of Mizzou supporters here. The bowl game was rough. I think Josh Heupel leaving, obviously, was a huge factor, but still overall a very successful season and a great comeback season for Mizzou, who started off so poorly. And then basketball, it looks like the team will be pretty good. If they can get Michael Porter back, it could even be a special team.
Tournament
team. Make a run. Yeah, I think right now they're on the fringe of the tournament without Michael Porter. I think if he comes back, they get in, and maybe they could make a run to the Sweet 16 or something like that. But, yeah, I think they're very close and certainly much better than where they've been, which is a pleasant surprise because the last couple of years were not pretty.
No, it was not. It was not. It was tough being a Mizzou fan, as I know that we both have. Still the best sporting event in Kansas City history was the Mizzou-Kansas football game, the Border War at Arrowhead, the first ever one at Arrowhead, which Mizzou won to become number one in the country. That'll go down in history as the best sporting event in Kansas City until we get a World Cup, right, Dave?
Oh, man, the World Cup would be special, but that was an amazing day. And, you know, my organization also, we got to help plan that MUKU charity basketball game a few weeks ago, and that was
a lot of fun.
That was a lot of fun, too.
That was really cool. Well, Dave, thanks for coming on the show today. Again, the website is sportkc.org if you want to get involved. We'll talk to you again soon, Dave. Have a good one, buddy.
All right, Happy New Year, man.
Happy New Year to you. You've been listening to Grill Nation. Thanks for joining us again on 980 AM KNBZ.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.